awfully long time. Hello. I really did wait and wait, and I wondered when it might happen. You're so beautiful. It's amazing, isn't it? You think you've learned something, and then you realize you haven't learned much of anything. Hello. Could you hold me for a minute? Hello. Maybe we could just let this moment last forever.
Penfield sure can sing a mean song. Yeah, she does. Just welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And I hope you're going to enjoy the show tonight. We're going to talk about some crystal energy, crystal power tonight, because we seem to need to get into that stuff a little bit more. So, that's what we're going to talk about. Anyway, that's Holly Penfield from the album From Andromeda with Love. She, of course, plays the space goddess for the three contact guys that she sings to through the entire rock opera. And I could basically just listen to her all night and not even say a word myself. And I guess everybody knows we had a great show Saturday night again. Who knows if I'll do another one this Saturday night or not. I guess we're getting picked up by a lot of airwaves now because around the country I noticed that I'm getting calls from and emails from Germany and Switzerland and all over the place. And I haven't got Japan yet. I imagine that's coming. Japan's on the way, I'm sure. I want to talk a little bit about the mineral kingdom tonight. As Sannyasi always told me about crystals, crystals are the perfect synthesis of spirit and matter in zero time. Think about that. Crystals are the perfect synthesis of spirit and matter in zero time. And if anybody comes here to the vortex in Laguna Beach where I live, they're going to see about, at least 1,500 pounds of crystals in the living room and probably a ton or so throughout the house. Of course, some of them are in the, we have a little museum room where we actually sell crystals to people that want the really good ones. And crystals are even getting to be today an investment thing because they're running out of the master crystals. They're hard to get. They're just about impossible now, as a matter of fact. So if you can find one at the right price, grab it. Anyway, the Akashic Records is where all human events take place. And, you know, you have to record this somewhere. In other words, I'm recording on a piece of cellulose right now. And will be converted to a digital file, transmitted through Alexander Graham telephone wires and internet and all kinds of other things, and eventually go through a computer to your ears. But crystals are like a recording device, and for that reason, they grow. A crystal, like we're talking about silicon dioxide, those big white quartz crystals that come from Arkansas and other places, they grow at about a tenth of 1% of their weight every 10 years. It's not much. A tenth of 1% every 10 years isn't a lot, but it's some. And those of you that have those great big crystals, like 200-pound master crystals, You've had them for over 20 years. They probably gain a little bit of weight. You can actually measure it. So many grams. Also, there's a clearing process that you go through. The crystal will, when you get a hold of it, it will clear if you're clear. It pretty much tells you where you're at. So what we'll do is we're going to start tonight. I think I want to start with the point, the crystal points. There's crystal clusters. There's crystal points. Clusters have one energy and meaning, and points have quite another. Points have been called grandfathers, master crystals, recorders. They have a lot of different terminology applied to them depending on who the applyee is. Crystals also come in two categories, healing and psychic. The healing crystals are more from the equator north, and the psychic are more from the equator south, because of the way water turns and grows in the cellular structure. Up here, it goes, when you pull the water out of the tub, it goes counterclockwise, or clockwise rather. Down below, it goes counterclockwise. So a clockwise spiral is a DNA building process. And a counterclockwise spiral is a DNA unbuilding process or despiraling process. However, if you are using the projector, and we've talked in the previous, last Saturday night was a show on the projector, the one that you wear, the amulet one. If you're using projector energies around a South American crystal, you're going to get an amplification of the stimulation of the DNA into the fourth dimension, which is kind of what you want to do. If you're like most people these days, you want to get somewhere else because this place is boring. But at the same time, you don't want to sever all ties here permanently. So crystals are very important. They're as the doorkeepers, the doormats, the projectors of the fourth dimension. Master crystals are, there's only one place they've ever come from that we could ever use in our systems, and that was the Coleman Mine, located in near Hot Springs, Arkansas, a little town called Jesseville. And over the years, that mine has been run by Japanese, Canadians, Germans. When it was a GMAC mine, it's been called everything, but effectively, it's now owned by Ron Coleman. And the big points that we use as master crystals come out of just one area of the mine. Unfortunately, after about 5,000 points coming out of the mine doesn't have any more. There's hardly any left, and the ones that are left are under hundreds of feet of water. So we kind of manage what we got out now. Luckily, I have a pretty good amount of them put away that nobody has ever seen before. And other than that, there aren't any for sale that I know of, unless you find somebody that wants to get rid of theirs because they don't know what it is or they just need the money. But that's sad when that happens. And usually if you take care of your master crystal, you'll never need the money. I remember when I got my first experience with a master crystal. It started out, I had a friend of mine, he was a doctor, and he was dying of cancer. And he had a crystal. And this is a long time ago, and I didn't know much about this crystal. I didn't know about any crystals in those days. I was just beginning to build these Pleiadian systems, and of course, at the beginning, we didn't have any crystal involved. So, he gave me this crystal, or I think he sold it to me for $80. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good amount. I mean, that's $80. That's a lot of money to spend on a 65-pound point. So I took it home and put it in the living room and in the vortex. Then I knew didn't even know much what the vortex was about. It was so long ago. Anyway, I put it in the living room with my systems. I noticed nothing, basically. I didn't notice a darn thing. And I didn't have a consciousness of crystals. I just didn't understand the first thing about them. Maybe I don't even now, but a little bit more of lesser understanding is better than nothing, I guess. So one of my friends did know about crystals. His name was Ron Spencer. He came over, and he was on his way to Hawaii. He had just bought a Systems 3 from me, and he was setting it up over on Oahu. And so Ron came by and looked at the crystal, and he says, you know, I need a crystal for my system. crystals. We didn't call them master crystals in those days. It was a big 65, 70 pound point sitting on the floor, sort of in the corner. It was pretty. It was big. It was neat. But it was sitting on the floor. So I said to him, well, how much would you give me for that crystal over there on the floor over there? It's the only one I got. It's the only one I own. Ron says, well, I'll give you $500. I said to myself, Pyridine is not a very big company yet, and I'm not very well known yet in this field, and the money would sure help out. I only paid $80 for it, so I said, take it. So he took it, and I guess, I don't know if he shipped it to Hawaii or took it up to Oregon where he lived, but it went somewhere. And he went off to Hawaii. I remember that very well. And set up one of Systems 3. He had his own crystal set up in that thing, in that system over there. And I remember it was very interesting because that's when I was learning about the laws of evocation. And he programmed that system to do something, and he didn't tell me what it was. So anyway, I get a phone call from Ron about two or three weeks gone by, and he says everything is fine. He's got the system set up, and he says he's not using my crystal. And I says, well, that's good. And he says, how do you feel? And I says, I'm okay. I said, this feels a little different around here, though. Something's missing. So he just laughed and hung up the phone and went on. And about 6 weeks went by, and I suddenly realized that there was something about that crystal that I needed. I wasn't doing too well, and I didn't know why. Something was missing, and I guess it was that crystal. And Ron calls up again, and he says, well, I'll tell you a little story, but first of all, you miss that? You need that crystal? I'm not going to use that. You want that? And I said, yeah, bring it back, bring it back. And I realize now that I really needed that thing in my systems. He says, well, I'll tell you, we programmed our system over here with my master crystal. Not mine, but his, the one he had. And he said, first thing that happened is when we set the system up, we got on the Inner Island News. He says, the next day, or the day after we were on the Inner Island News, about five monks dropped by and tried out the system, meaning Big Systems 3. The big system that we make here at Pyridine for levitation and all kinds of stuff, time travel, regression. It's endless what those systems will do. Anyway, he says, on the third day, he says, you never guess who showed up. I says, I don't know. But he says, well, Tenzin Gyatso, the Dalai Lama, showed up here at our doorstep. I says, what? I says, yeah. He says, he showed up. And he says, I'm going back over to, I guess I'm going to India with him. And since I dropped that crystal off, if you want it, I said, bring me that crystal. I want it back real bad. So he's on his way to India. I guess the Dalai Lama gave him $10,000 in cash to one of his money type people that supplies the Dalai Lama fund. And Ron went on to India, and I dropped my crystal off. And I was so glad to get that crystal back that I didn't bother writing him a check. I had $100 bills sitting there. That $480 profit didn't mean a thing to me anymore. Not a bit. I just wanted that big old rock back. That's how it started. So then I began to explore, well, where did this crystal come from? I found out it came from Arkansas. So I jumped on a plane, went down to Arkansas, and I got down there, got into Mount Ida. This was a big lake, Lake Washita. And go around this lake, and I wanted to buy some more crystal. I didn't quite know where to go to get some more, but I knew I needed more. I knew they had to go in my system somehow. Wasn't sure where or what yet, but I knew they had to go there. So I go into these crystal shops, and there's lots of them all around the lake because the mines are nearby, and these shops would retail to the tourists like myself at the time. They would retail crystals, and every time I'd go in there and find a big point like I had or something similar to it, I'd say, how much do you want for that? And they'd all say the same thing. It ain't for sale. We ain't selling that. Y'all pick out something else, but we ain't selling this. I'd say, and I start offering them money. You know, I start out a little bit of money and get some pretty good numbers going, several hundreds of dollars, because I knew that they were worth something and they did something. and that ever none of them ever would sell. I never got one. You had to get what they had for sale, and not what they were using. And so I asked them, why don't you sell those crystals? And they all said the same thing: they protect me. Somebody wants to break into my shop, the crystal sends that thief away. And I was going to get at some. I was accident prone until I got my crystal. I ain't had one since. No more accidents. So I began to get all this input from all these very simple but nice people, very honest. They had nothing to gain. They sure weren't making a financial transaction by their statements. They were doing just the opposite. They were driving me away from even thinking of buying what I really wanted. Just take what they had for sale, and that was it. So that's how it started. It started out that way, and I finally worked my way around to Ron Coleman Mine in Jesseville, finding out that that's where the real stuff came from, and Ron and I became friends. And Ron took me out and taught me about Coleman Mines, and his grandfather had started mining a long time ago, and it had been in the family for a few generations, several actually, 50, 60 years. And that was quite a while ago, and I learned all about master crystals from him. And then I had another friend of mine that was down there at the time who was out here. His name was John Gibbons. He was also a teacher. He began to teach me about the strata and the energies. And on it went. So I got educated gradually and still get educated. Evidently, the Atlanteans knew all about the Akashic Records, and they realized these crystals are record keepers. And people would oftentimes ask me when they come out of the ground, has this thing been cut or polished or blah, blah, blah. No, they come out of the ground with the funny little points and the beautiful surfaces and the clarity and all that stuff. That's the way they come out of the ground. That's what makes them special. The Atlanteans, however, used them in the ground. They didn't take them out of the ground to get results out of them. They just used them in the ground. Later on, though, sometime in the year in the European times, people started mining quartz. And it was considered a royal treasure to have some of these things around. Today, it's an estate investment because they're so rare. The big ones you can't find anymore. There's lots of the South American points, but they're not of the healing type that we use in our systems for programming and the kind that people want. The psychic ones are great, but they just don't have the power that these North American crystals do. And so we began to sell them. I sold one to a person over in Hawaii that ran a temple. And he ran the largest temple, I guess, for all the Buddhists in the world. And the crystal has the name of Shiva Lingual. And then I was working at the time with a company called Mel's Griot. They make lasers. And before I had started Pyrodyne, I had worked with this company selling them test equipment. And I still had some laying around, so I ended up, rather than selling them any more test equipment, because it was surplus to me, I traded for some lasers. And lasers, we haven't really talked about that, but what lasers do is they are coherent light, and they generate from a gas or another, the new diode lasers, a energy field that in the case of the old lasers, this energy would release a photon of light from the astral plane, and it would move down through the gas medium, which provided the energy for the light in the first place, which was helium neon, which was red. It would strip off photons from the helium atoms and send them down a tube. And the way the stripping process worked is that inside this laser was a xenon flash tube. And the xenon flash tube would flash white light. But strangely enough, the laser, regardless if it was going to be a red laser, green laser, or any color laser, would only absorb the green energy, or the Holy Ghost energy, or the third ray, or the emerald color, out of the white light to create whatever color lasering process it did. And what happened was this green light would be absorbed into the electron as it moved around the helium atom. And it would absorb more and more. This xenon flash tube would keep like a flash bulb going off, flashing on the atomic structure of this gas, pushing the electrons further and further and further away from the nucleus. Until after a while, the electrons would want to go back to the nucleus. It's like stretching a rubber band that goes back to the normal place where it wants to be. And so as a result of that, when this electron moves back to its normal point in rotation around the nucleus, it releases photons. Just out of nowhere come these photons. And the beauty of it is that these photons are released in unison, or as they say in science, coherently. And as these photons are coherently released, coming onto the physical plane, that's called population inversion. And these electrons go running down to the closest mirror, which is a 5x surface. They're reflected off of it, and they go the other way to a 10x surface, and they're reflected, and they go back and forth picking up energy. Until finally, they break through one of the mirrors, and out they come as photons, which we have talked about in my earlier shows. What's inside a photon? Well, they're megons. The megons are color particles that give us a sensitivity when they strike our brains of a color. So here we had a beautiful source of photons from the astral plane, the laser, and we had the perfect place as a target, and that was the crystal, which was the Akashic Records. So I decided to shoot the laser into the crystal. Yep, you heard it here first. We were the very first ones to do that kind of stuff. It's all over the world now, but we did it first. Another paradigm first, a long, long time ago, long before the New Age folks ever saw a laser. We had them. We were the first ones to ever sell them out to the public. Now they're all over. Scanners, American DJ got into it. We sell a lot of their products, all based on our original experiments. The scanners produce beautiful patterns that you see in discotheques, all that, all started a long time ago. A friend of mine named Fred Lord started the laser business with the patterns over in Las Vegas, which spread around the world. And another friend of mine named Ivan started the Laserium up at Griffith Park, which is world-famous planetary laser light show, which is in observatories and museums all over the world. So there was the three of us. I was the one that did it from the meditation side. So when the crystal received the photons of light, Akashic Record is released psychically, immediately off the astral plane, immediately into your consciousness. So you have this tremendous dynamic effect between a master crystal and a laser. And of course, we use now the lasers on all the crystals that we can. Any possibility of getting a laser on a crystal is going to amplify its Akashic Record recording releasing force and its doorway. We use now in doorways to our Stargates, which is our newer product, the Stargates. So anyway, that's how that started. And master crystals over the years, you know, they do several things. When you put one in your house, first of all, you got to find the right master crystal for you. If you don't resonate with it, it's not going to be for you. You've got to resonate with it. Feel something from it. And if you don't, then it's not time for you either A, have a master crystal, or it's the wrong one. And because of our rotation around the Pleiades now, it's easier to resonate with a master crystal than it was 20 years ago. The energy is more susceptible in the human body. It's more ready to go. Master crystals, unfortunately, became quite rare. The one, for example, that I sold the Buddhists weighed 700 pounds, and they got it for a meager little price of $25,000. Today, $2 or $3 million wouldn't buy that crystal, not only from them, but from anybody, because those crystals are very, very priceless now, those big, heavy crystals. The other thing about when you choose a master crystal, it will be the largest single rock that you're going to own in a point. You can have clusters or amplifiers weighing many, many times more than your master crystal, but as a single point, it's going to be the biggest one in your collection, because you'll find that master crystals have an attitude. And when they have an attitude and you're doing something wrong, your life goes to hell in a handbasket very quickly. You will walk home and you come in your house and that crystal's mad at you. You'll know it. I know it sounds a little strange. How can a rock sitting on the floor get mad at you? Well, once you understand how they work and what they do to the synapses in the brain and how they resonate. You know, when I was working at Autonetics, I designed a thing for calibrating guidance systems for NASA. I got an award for it, hanging in my crystal room. And the heart of that little calibrator that I designed was a crystal. Quartz is used as a standard in National Bureau of Standards, atomic clocks. All these things use quartz as a standard for telling time. That's how stable quartz is. I designed an earthquake detector because quartz will expand just previous to an earthquake, and you can measure that across a bridge with a squid device and a Josephine junction to detect it. And these are things in my newer book, Rays of Truth, and it's not tonight's topic, but quartz is an amazing substance, silicon dioxide, Arkansas quartz. So we use it in a lot of applications, and the fact that it electronically amplifies and stabilizes your frequencies means that when that quartz resonating frequency is tuned to your body, and they'll naturally tune it, and as they tune to your body, they get clearer. A lot of times people will buy a big 75 or 100 pound point from me, and I do have a few of them still available. I think they might even have a couple of 200 pound points hidden away here somewhere, but when you get those, they might not all be clear on the front. I've got one right now that's one of the clearest ones in the world, and probably the last one for sale that's that clear, because they're so rare to find them, and it weighs close to 70 pounds. They're very, very hard to find them that clear. And you shoot a laser into that puppy, and it is all over the place. It will pull you in, and you won't even get out. You won't even want to come out, because the optical effect of opening up the astral plane inside of a crystal, with you projecting your consciousness into it, whether you want to or not, is phenomenal. It'll outdo any drug ride any time, any of the day, week, or year. It's an amazing ride. It's just drop-dead gorgeous. But anyhow, when these things start resonating with you, they get clearer and clearer. And so it's really fun to watch the tip. Sometimes you buy one and there's just a little bit of clarity on the front. And pretty soon the whole thing is very, very clear. Incredibly clear. So a master crystal is, this is an amazing device. Now, if you come home and you're not doing too well, and that crystal's sitting there on the floor waiting for you, it's always been in tune with you all day long, but you're not usually in touch with it. It's in touch with you. And you come in, and your circuits are fried, your resonant frequencies of your brains are askew, you've been around negative energy. That crystal will clean you out so quick, it will electronically reset your circuits. It actually physically does something. It transmits a signal. It's like a cell phone talking to a repeater site, you know. Except in this case, you're the repeater site, and the cell phone is actually the crystal is transmitting to you. It will reset your circuits the way they should be, and that's important. However, this is what the people down in Arkansas found. Somebody comes up to do something harmful to you, that crystal is resonating on your frequencies. And it's triggering off your synapses in your brain. And if you consciously knew somebody was coming to do you harm, you're going to react to it. You're going to know it, and you're going to react. You're going to get some adrenaline going. Well, that crystal is like an extension of your awareness, although you're not aware of it being an extension. So what happens is, if something is coming to harm you and that crystal's anywhere nearby, it will send out a pulse back to that person, because they're not going to resonate with it. And their energy is going to touch that crystal, and it's going to resonate back your energy, and it's going to freak them out. And it's going to create a situation where something strange will happen, and they never quite get up to the point where they steal from you or break into your house or harm you. And so therefore, the people in Arkansas also call them the protectors. So these are some of the background things that a piece of quartz will do in the master crystal variety. And we find that weighing them and size-wise, the ones that seem to do the best are something that's 35 to 40 pound in weight up. I guess it has more of an amplifier, or it takes that much weight versus mass to affect the human brain. Who knows exactly what all that's all about, because I sure don't, but I just know that it works. When we put one of those master crystals into one of our systems, like, say, for example, a self-help system, what we do is the first thing is a self-help system is exactly that. It consists of a pyramid over your bed, or a big meditation pyramid, and a radiator, a mega orb, and a capstone, and a regular orb. That's the basic hardware, and a star orb in your house somewhere to get rid of negative energy. So the first thing that people do in a self-help system is they learn to program the master crystal. They point the radiator at the pyramid that they're going to sit inside of or sleep in. The master crystal can be anywhere in the neighborhood. I remember when Carlos Castaneda was talking about finding a point to meditate in a house. You walk around, you feel the best comfortable place, and you, in the, you know, you sit down and meditate there. I tell people the same thing when positioning a master crystal. Find a point in your house that feels comfortable near the system and place it there. And that's where it needs to be. So then the second thing we do is we usually have what we call a little programming crystal. And that's a little pocket piece or just something that's something small that you feel comfortable with that you can carry around and you carry it in your hand. And what you do is to program your master crystal is to write down on a piece of paper what you want to happen, whether you want to get some healing energy going or you want to get some material object brought into your possession that you don't own or want to own, or you want to do something, regardless of what it is, doesn't matter. Hopefully it's a better idea than a worse one. You write it down, you show no one what you wrote on that piece of paper, and then you place it in the bottom of the irradiator in the Megorb chamber. You take your little handheld crystal and you lay down near the master crystal inside the pyramid. You place this little crystal that you're using as your little programmer on the curved part of your nose, right where it joins your forehead, and you lay on your back. You just lay there with this little tiny crystal on you. Visualize your master crystal. Visualize your program. Visualize your program that you wrote down going into that master crystal, even though the written material is not near the master crystal, it's somewhere else. And just relax and let that program happen. And what will happen is when that master crystal gets the program and loads it up, it's kind of like loading a computer, that little crystal on your forehead will fall off. It'll just automatically just jump off. And we used to use a round lead paperweight type crystal to teach people how to do this originally. And we were over in Switzerland one time, and in some cases, some people, the crystal that's on the small little, maybe half-inch square crystal or whatever size little point you use on your nose, just balanced there, it wouldn't just fall off, it would jump off. And we had a lady actually pop a crystal off her nose when she programmed a master crystal. It threw about a half-pound lead crystal about 30 feet. So it can get a little bit crazy sometimes when you're loading the crystal up. And it doesn't take much practice. It's pretty easy. I've never seen anybody that couldn't do it without trying it for 5 minutes. Once that energy is loaded into your master crystal, then what happens is you just let it go to work in the system. And the system then goes to town and makes things happen for you. And that, of course, would be another day talking about all of that. The main thing is you need the master crystal to make the system work. Once you evolve from a self-help system over to a quad system or over to a systems three, then you'll start probably adding quite a bit more quartz. What makes people get quartz in their lives is the fact that they get results from it. And some people get huge results and they end up with huge amounts or something. They actually become collectors of crystals. So everybody's different. Everybody has a different motive. Master crystals are kind of hard to find. There's only a few people around that even think about selling them anymore because nobody has them. Luckily, I saw the future and got a few put away, but there aren't that many left for sale anymore. And so I guess the people around now that get them will be the lucky ones. And they do appreciate in value, obviously, because of there's none left. And you won't get any from Arkansas mines. Now, I'll give you an example of appreciation of values of them. Ron Coleman would have, I used to buy 100-pound master crystals from him for $1,000, $1,500, big, beautiful. Today, I think he might have one for sale for $25,000, maybe one if he still has it. The price just went through the roof on them, you know, decent quality ones. Even the junky ones now, with flaws and cracks and scratches on them. A lot of times they didn't get that out of the ground. They came out of the mine that way. They're still quite functional. They just aren't cosmetically pleasing. They're going for big dollars now, too, so you want to get into a master crystal, is the time to look at this now. Secondly, we use amplifiers. And the amplifiers are the quartz clusters. And we have different grades. We have museum grade, we have first quality, second quality, and then what I call third quality, and then junk. And junk sells for 50 cents to $1 to $2 a pound. And first quality Arkansas can go for $100 a pound, $200 a pound, $1,000 a pound, depending on what museum grade it is. The amplifiers are quite interesting in the fact that whenever you pull one of those out of the ground, you'll always see what we call sleet, the ones that come from Arkansas in the northern hemisphere. And that's kind of like snowflakes put across the front of those crystals. And when they're pulled out of the ground, the sleet, the snowflakes, in the ground, it's always facing north. So you can always look at that crystal and see that snowflake stuff deposited on one side of it. No, that crystal came, that was the part of that crystal that was facing north when it came out of the ground. We use amplifiers in all of our systems. In the Megorb, which is a device that goes below the radiator, we want to hook up with the nature spirit. So what we do with that is it has four big mixing chambers in it. If you look in the books and then the pictures on the websites, you'll see there's four chambers down there. And when we set one of those up to generate the scalar wave frequencies to amplify and transmit the energies that come out of the master crystals of the programs, because now the radiators become transmitting devices. And the best number to get results of stabilization, weather control, all the things that we can do, is to have at least four radiators. Four is the best number, a quad system, programmed into one master crystal. And like I say, in the bottom of each of the chambers of the megorbs, you'll find two smaller 1 or 2 pound points. These are small, tiny, like micro master crystals. And these, of course, are more expendable than the big ones. And they're a lot more common. You can get them in a lot of different places, as long as it's north of the equator. And they're very inexpensive. So we use two of them per radiator. And then we use two local stones to get the transmitting effect. And the reason that you use local stones is that you need to get in touch with the local nature spirits to make sure everything's cool when you're working a master crystal. Because the master crystal came from Arkansas, and you might be in Colorado, or you might be in Canada, or you might be in South America, or you might be in Germany. You might be anywhere, or Japan, and we send you a master crystal from Arkansas. Well, you got to sort of introduce it to the nature spirits, and that's done through the smaller points in the irradiators, in the megorb chambers of the irradiators, and then the connection finally is made through the local stones. So where do you get local stones? Well, you go out your front door or your back door, and you look around, and you find some rocks on the ground, anything, you know, preferably of some mass, at least, you know, maybe an inch square or something bigger, and that's your local stones. Also, what I find people doing with quad systems is usually when somebody starts building a quad system or a systems three, they'll have a collection of rocks and stones and gems that they've accumulated, and they've placed them in random places all around their house and barn or garage, wherever they store them. When they start to understand the system, all of these rocks and crystals and stones, minerals and gems that they found usually end up in the megorb chambers, usually end up somewhere in some of the other structures they might be. They all end up going to work. And usually that master crystal, because it's usually bigger than everybody else, the master crystal puts them all to work. And so you might have some rough emerald from Brazil, and you might have some rough ruby, from India, and you might have some chrysonium from the deserts of Arizona, and you might have a piece of a temple from someplace, and this goes on and on. All those pieces will fit in to the routine, and they will be amplified by the master crystal. Now, a lot of people want to also, besides have the healing and generating, now the healing and generators, we call them also generators, are the North American single points. Some people will bring, like in my system, I use several points from South America. got some that probably weigh up to close to 40, 50 pounds that I use. They are despiralers. They are psychic amplifiers. So what they do is they don't have the generating power, you might consider them, they don't have the explosive power of the Northern American crystals, but they have penetrating power. So you might say that this is like the gunpowder, and the other thing is a spiritual bullet, meaning that the event is the bullet, but the pathway, the barrel of that bullet, is the South American, the psychic amplifier crystals. And those usually come in browns, and I like the, I have some beautiful clear brownish colored ones that you can, they're transparent, you can see through them. And they're also becoming very valuable and getting very hard to get. So even the South American points, the ones that are of some value, there's a lot of junk ones that come up that are useless. They make good gravel in your driveway. So you got to sort of know what kind of crystals that you're going to be using when you start putting an entire system together. And you'll learn step by step. Now, we also have use a lot of what I call handheld clusters. These are about 2 or 3 pounds, 1 pound to 3 pounds. We use those in our Megorb systems, and they sit in a chamber above the smaller points that are down below. And they're amplifiers. And what we do is we put those inside the mixing chamber of the Megorb, and then what we do is when you write all your little messages down and seal them up on your envelopes, you lay them across the surface of these small points, or these small clusters, and so they amplify the energy in the envelope, they send it up to the irradiator. The irradiator sends it over to the master crystal. The master crystal processes and sends it back to the irradiator. And now the irradiator actually transmits the energy out. And what's really neat, because we're using lasers, we'll shoot lasers into the points below the megorbs. We'll shoot lasers into the amplifiers that are in the mixing chambers of the megorbs. And we'll also shoot lasers into the master crystal. And when you start getting all this energy going, it's really interesting because you can actually take pictures of it. You can photograph it with digital cameras. You can take pictures of it with infrared cameras, which we've done. You can do it with a variety of different ways. And in my seminars, I have a bunch of slideshows and things that I do showing a lot of these different energies and what I call mini space-time singularity fields that these crystals and master crystals amplify and send out. Now, another thing that's very interesting is that megorbs can be used to do specific things with the crystal combination. For example, in Aspen, Colorado, we used to set them up out on the ski slopes for people being in training, and they'll send energy out there to prevent people from getting hurt on their skis or falling down, because accidents are usually a lapse in time of the person's cognition or awareness of their surroundings. Their surroundings is moving at one vibratory frequency, and they start moving at another one, and when they start moving at another one, they're not in contact with their surroundings, and they become unconscious. Sometimes just for a millionth of a second, but that's enough to crash into a tree or something if you're skiing. So we also increase the stability factor of crystals by using the nuclear receptor. The nuclear receptor will amplify the effects of the crystals on the body. So they all kind of work in harmony. Fortunately, I can't take any questions because I'm not on the air live right now. I'm recording this. But you can email me your questions at fredbell@pyridyne.com. Or you can call our 800 number, which is 1-800-729-2603. Or you can call our 949 number from overseas, which is 1-949-499-2603. Just remember the 2603 part, whether it's 729 or 499, and you'll get to us. Or you can just type in Dr. Fred Bell in the search engine, and it'll bring you to where we are. So this is some of the stuff about crystals. Now, we also use other gemstones. We build a device called an Omnion, and tonight's not a talk about an Omnion, but an Omnion is a device that protects the master crystal during the full moon cycle. Whenever you're programming a system, whether it be a self-help system or a quad system or a systems 3, which is what I call the big dog, you only do that during the new moon. not during a full moon. And the reason for that is what we call surface tension changes. In your body, you're made up mostly of water, and the molecular structure of the water is very relaxed during a new moon. But during a full moon, the molecular structure tightens up on your body, causing a tension at the endocrine level, and the endocrine gland level is tense. It causes a restriction on the balancing of the hormones in the brain, and so therefore the brain is not going to be as balanced as it normally would be. So therefore the signals coming out of the brain aren't going to be as balanced as they should be, and you're probably going to be reacting more to stress than you normally would during a new moon, during a full moon. So a full moon, you're going to be more reactive. And of course the crystal is the same thing. If we can detect the surface tension change in a crystal, and then it can predict an earthquake 1,000 miles away by an induction frequency that takes place there, that master crystal is going to be a little tense also, and it's going to be definitely amplifying your tension during a full moon. So it's really not a good idea to program. The best thing to do is just forget about everything, and therefore you have no thoughts that are going to cause good or bad or anything to happen. They're going to be indifferent. And so we have a device called an Omnion, which is placed over the master crystal during a full moon when you're working with what we call a quad system or a system 3. Because when you start working with those systems, you have to start positioning the irradiators against each other or away from each other, and a whole bunch of other things that we'll talk about later. So this Omnion is a very interesting device. The higher quality Omnions are made up of crystals. Their pyramid structure is interlaced with crystals. And then there are mineral specimens from all over the world that are also, there may be 20, 30 different types of mineral stones, gemstones, built into this thing. So it takes all this energy from all of these places all over the world to protect the master crystal, which is quite interesting. So we love master crystals. They are really fine. They're hard to get, but they are available. If you're interested in one, let us know. Other types of crystals, we use a lot of single points, very small points. We use the very small points inside of our radiators. What we have found there is that we can amplify and tune, fine-tune the scalar waves using these points. And usually when you, anytime you add a point to your system, it's going to bring one more, it's going to add one more dynamic to it. For example, in our Portamid systems, we have, when you buy a Portamid, you've got a big pyramid. It's so big it fits over your bed. And on top of that, you're going to have what's called a capstone. Above the capstone is going to be placed an orb. That orb is an open frame structure that sits above the capstone, and coming from the top of the orb, hanging down in the chamber in the middle of the orb, fully visible not only below the pyramid but next to it, will hang maybe a 2 or 3 inch long pyramid. I mean, not pyramid, but a crystal. And then what we do is we'll have a red laser across the room from you, probably about as far away as you can get it, so that the beam can be seen coming to the crystal inside the orb, which is on top of the portamid. And we usually use a red crystal. And we find that when you're sleeping in the portamid and you've got a crystal, a 2-inch crystal above you inside the mixing chamber of the orb, and a laser shooting into it, you have much better sleep. Another thing that happens is mosquitoes and insects that are pests don't like this energy. So the mosquitoes are not going to be flying into your ears and buzzing you in the middle of the night if you're living somewhere in the south when you're sleeping in a system like that, because they don't like it. Flies don't like it. What does like it are bees. Bees do like this, and they kind of like the energy, so they might fly around in there, but they're not going to be stinging you because they're going to be up above. Of course, I don't think too many people are going to have their windows open and bees flying around, but those one type of insect likes this energy. Flies and mosquitoes don't like it. The second thing that we found is we'll oftentimes use multicolored lasers when we shoot the energy into the crystal on top of the portamid. And what I have found is that everybody sleeps really well with a red laser shooting into the portamid. I sleep in one every single night. And you're going to find that the crystal and the laser and the portamid energy are going to give your body such a support that your sleeping time is going to be a lot less. And that's something you got to get used to. You'll go through a detox for like 3 months, but then after that, your sleeping time is way less than you're normally going to get. You just have to get used to it. Unless you don't want to, you know, some people actually want to sleep more, but I think that even that attitude will change when you do this. What we have found, though, is we oftentimes use a green laser. Now that the price of the green laser has dropped to such a low price, it's gone from thousands of dollars to several hundreds of dollars down to a couple hundred dollars now for a green laser, which is amazing. The green laser shooting into the crystal, it causes a green energy. Remember what we said earlier, crystals like green energy anyway. That's what they absorb out of white light to make their lasing beam. Of course, these new lasers are solid state, but they work on a similar principle. It's now a diode principle versus a gas in a light, in a xenon flash tube. But the bottom line is they still emit a coherent green light. And because green is the spectrum that lasers function from anyway, regardless of the color, when you have an actual green laser, the energy is the highest. So of all the colors of lasers, the highest emanating color that's going to have the greatest physical sensation on your body of any color laser is going to be the green laser. So if you shoot a green laser into the crystal above your bed, you're probably not going to sleep too well at all because it's just too much energy. It's what that would be good for is meditation, for reading a book or watching television or doing some other physical activity that you might do in a pyramid. There's, of course, the sexual aspect, which is incredible for some people, and that's very intense with green, I might add. You probably would use green for that and not sleep in it. Not too many people. And strangely enough, because women are female energy and green is a female energy, women seem to be more disturbed or more bothered by green light for sleeping, the green laser into the crystal than men. Men, it will keep them up for a while, but it doesn't keep them wired like a woman. A woman will actually get wired with a green laser, just absolutely tremendous energy, but not too good for sleeping, but good for everything else. So there's not a harmful effect having the green laser. It's just a highly energizing, charging effect. And then there's the next effect, which is what I call the meditation effect. And that's when we shoot the blue laser into the crystal on top of the pyramid. When we shoot the blue laser into the crystal on top of the pyramid, it creates a very sedative, very deep meditation. It's a very deep inner traveling kind of feeling. And so blue has another energy all in itself, and it's almost like a drug effect. So I would probably not recommend that you sleep with a blue laser going on over into your crystal over your bed. But that would be very good for meditation. So if you have your 10-foot or your 8-foot or your 6-foot pyramid set up on the floor and you want to do meditation, you might want to use the blue laser for that into the crystal. And the same goes for the master crystal. Some people will have their master crystal. Most people do oftentimes when they first get them. They want to put them right by their bed, usually at the foot of the bed, because it will draw out negative energy out of your body. The master crystal will do that, and it'll put positive energy back into your body. So people get very excited when they put their crystals, their new master crystals, at the foot of the bed, and they'll shoot different lasers into them. Well, the laser, of course, is also providing a cleansing effect on the master crystal. And some people say, well, can you over-laser them? No, master crystals, as far as I know, can never get enough laser energy. They just love it. People probably can't handle the energy of a master crystal absorbing laser light sometimes, so they think that the crystal doesn't like it, but effectively it's just putting out too much energy and they can't handle it. So that's a misinterpretation. And the crystal can't apologize for it because crystals don't talk unless they talk to you through your intuitions, which then they talk a lot. Oh, by the way, intuitive power is raised tremendously with master crystals because remember, all of the actions of the human race over all of the ages since the very beginning of the human race are recorded in those things. And if you look at how many millions of years it takes to form a 20-pound or a 50-pound or 100-pound crystal, it's many, many millions of years. They just don't come overnight. And that's the beauty of mining these things. They're surface mine. They're not that far underground. and they come out of a red clay. And they're when you find one, a crystal in a mine, it's always in a red clay. It's a very thick, muddy clay. And the clay itself is a very high source of trace minerals. And a lot of cosmetic companies in France use them because this red clay will draw poisons out of your body for face masks and things like that. So the salve, and then there's, of course, the water. In the case of the Coleman mine, there are the water that's covering up the big pit where all the large points still lie, a few of them that are there. The water that comes out of there is some of the purest water in the world. As a matter of fact, the water is being sold now as a special crystal water for drinking purposes, and I believe that probably will become more expensive than gasoline or wine or alcohol or anything else very soon. That water is becoming a commodity on this planet. And remember, silicon dioxide crystals are made up of this water. And that's once again why I really loved the statement from Sumyasi when she told me a long time ago that the crystal is a perfect synthesis in spirit and of matter in zero time. And then there's different types of crystals. For example, Ron Coleman has a brother named Jimmy. And actually the big crystal that I sold to the people in Hawaii, the Buddhist people over there, it came out of Jimmy's mine. But it's all an Arkansas-related crystal quartz mine. So we had a discovery a few years ago of what was called Mac Earl crystals. Mac Earls today have some of the greatest healing potential. Now remember, your body has to heal itself, but this has healing. It speeds up the healing process many times over. And that's true of any crystal. Now you may end up getting yourself cut on the points, or you might get a cut or two on some of the clusters because they are sharp. But the healing potential of these things is tremendous. So if you're in a healing situation and you bring a master crystal in, the healing process in your body is sped up many, many times. Well, the Mac Earls had the most amazing healing process. They only found about 6,000 or 8,000 pounds of them in one mine. It was one discovery that was heard around the world, and Mac Earl's the most sought-out crystal there is today, but it's only in the hands of private collectors because there are no more Mac Earl mines. There was only one. But what happened with the Mac Earl was that it was a crystal. It was in the ground like any other crystal. And over millions of years, the whole deposit turned 180 degrees. Well, normally, underground, when crystals are forming and the whole deposit starts to rotate underground 180 degrees, it gets shattered and it creates all these little tiny small fine points, not these big clusters and big points that you find. And they get ground up and chewed up and they come out as little points. The Mac Earl stayed intact. So it turned 180 degrees underground. The next thing that happened is that the Mac Earl turned upside down. The entire positive crystals rotated another 180 degrees, so the bottom, where it was sitting on the ground below, now pushed it up to the top, so it now was found hanging upside down and backwards inside of a cave. You know, that pocket was like a cave. So they mined it upside down from the ceiling of the cave after it turned around 180 degrees. And the result was it's the most beautiful, finest, clearest crystal in the world with trapped oxygen like feathers. And when you look under a very bright light, like a xenon light or a quartz light, you'll see these blue feathers in this white, beautiful crystal. It's actually clear. And psychic-wise, it became psychic amplifiers. We never even got into the psychic amplification of intuition that the master crystal produces and other crystals produce. So it goes on and on and on. This is just a basic introductory A of what crystals are all about. But with the Mac Earls, it started selling for probably $500 a pound, and today that's the Mac Earl pieces sell for $5,000 a pound. That's almost as much as a diamond, and that's because the psychics and the healers know what those things can do. So there is a range of power that different crystals generate, and there are many different types. There's many different grades. Some of the crystals have manganese in them, and so they have three different colors, and there's a whole lot that we'll get into later on about the colors. But the basic seminar tonight or lecture tonight is just about the crystal itself, and I will be posting more and more information as time goes on the website about crystals and things to do with crystals. And this, like I say, is a very basic explanation tonight, and mostly just about the master crystal. So I hope you're enjoying our series of topics that we do at the blog and service and BBS radio. And we are expanding quite a bit. And we're just having a good time all around. So I hope that in closing that questions are answered, or maybe more questions have been generated. And we just will be talking to you very soon. And if there's any questions, call us at 1-800-729-2603. And I think that Holly is somewhere out there getting ready to take us out, or somebody's going to take us out tonight. I'm not sure what song we're going to come up with here, but sooner or later we'll have a nice sound and we'll be out of here for the evening. That's how it goes. Oh, I guess Shades is taking us out tonight. Until we talk again, have a great evening.
Oh, gee, hey, look at me. Ain't got no TV or car. And most people, they're wary of me. I got my head in the stars. They say that I'm partial to play, so I will go very far. Hey, that's okay. Stars.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blog and service.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.